The kind of key premise of our Wakini initiative is that given our land grant mission, which is to provide access to all, which is a quote from 1862 when the land grants were formed, is our commitment to provide access to the benefits of higher education to all citizens of South Dakota. And the group that we've fallen short in over the years is the American Indian population here in South Dakota and the nine tribal nations. So the Wakini Initiative is a kind of a holistic approach to changing that and to help students, whatever their age, young or old, and help them receive the benefits of higher education.
Yeah. And for our listeners who aren't familiar with what it means to be a land-grant university, because this ties in very closely with the Wakini Initiative, can you kind of explain what that means?
Right. So President Abraham Lincoln signed the 1862 land-grant bill, and during the middle of the Civil War, as I'm sure everybody can realize, So it was the first public higher education in the history of the entire world. So it was a huge step forward. But because he was fighting the Civil War, he didn't have a lot of resources to put to it. And the resource that he chose was land. So he gave a grant of land, 30,000 acres per congressperson and senator, U.S. senator, to each state, to create a land-grant university. And the land-grant's mission then was to have public education, higher education, and kind of break the elitism of the private schools.
Interesting. And I know since the Wakini Initiative got started, that's been funded in a large way by private donations, but I know you've also found a way to make SDSU's land-grant university status work for that initiative as well. Is that right?
Right. So South Dakota State received 120,000 acres of land in 1889 when the state received statehood. So in the Enabling Act of Statehood, South Dakota State was named the land-grant university for the state, and the state was given 120,000 acres of land, 30,000 acres, and there we had two congresspeople and one senator. And with that land that the state basically still has, it's been held in the school and public lands in trust for us, and we receive an annual flow of resources from the state renting that land out. And so we've decided to dedicate those annual resources of about $500,000 to benefit American Indian students here on campus.
Right. Fairly recently, SDSU received the 2019 Bush Prize for Community Innovation for that Wakini Initiative. I believe that's another $500,000. What does that mean for you to get both those funds and that kind of recognition?
Well, it was very exciting and humbling. There's many, many people doing great things in the area that the Bush Foundation serves. So we were thrilled. There's one per state, and so we were chosen South Dakota's this year, and it was just very, very humbling and also very affirming that we're doing some good work. And so it's very helpful financially for us, but so we're using that $500,000 to benefit American Indian students here on campus also. So it's really very significant, and we're very honored.
Right. Because you'll have to remind me how long the Wakini Initiative has been up and running.
We're in our third year.
Wow, just the third year, but you've already made some pretty significant strides, is that right?
Well, we've worked very hard in a very short period of time. We've increased enrollments. We've awarded some very large scholarships to quite a few young people, and the immediate response on retention of students and grades and et cetera has been very positive. So we think we've got, we've been following some best management practices that we learned from neighboring universities and some from our own research, and seem to clicked into the secret sauce about student success for these young people. And we're off and going and very excited.
Right. So I want to now kind of move to within the past month, President Trump signed the 2020 Ag Appropriations Bill, which includes a provision called New Beginnings for Tribal Students. Can you touch on a little bit what this provision does?
Right. So I pledged when I started Wakini to expand the resources and find federal resources and grants and gifts and so in keeping with that pledge, I went to our congressional delegation and asked for their help in getting some federal resources. There's some misconceptions that American Indian students come to college for free, and that's not true at all. So there's an enormous need for them, financial need. And so with land-grant partners from around the United States and their senators and their representatives, we got a very important bill attached to the as a statute attached to the Farm Bill in 2018. And then in 2019, we were, again, working with our partners from across the nation. We got a small appropriation, $5 million annual appropriation for it, which isn't a lot of money, but it's a great start, and it provides grants up to $500,000 per state, and $500,000. I guess I don't know why that's a magic number here, but it'll be a big help for us as we move forward.
Right, and I just want to make sure I understand how this provision works. Is this allotments because it's the federal provision matching state funds? So is that a state legislature providing funds for this reason, or is it individual land grant institutions setting aside those funds?
It only calls for a match, a one-to-one match. So it doesn't have to be state dollars. It could be tribal dollars. It could be the Bush money. It could be donations. But it does require to get the $500,000 of federal money, we have to raise that much money. The same amount of money from other sources than federals. So that's a good thing for us. And we've done that, and look forward to raising more money to collect that match and leverage those dollars.
Right, and we kind of joking about 500,000 being the magic number in some ways, and like you said, in the grand scheme of things, especially with bigger universities, when you're looking at multi-million-dollar sports complexes or something, when you look at up to $500,000, in your experience, just how far can those kind of funds go for this intended purpose?
Well, actually a long way. So any single dollar doesn't go very far, or any single source that might not look like it's going to go very far. But we've been able, to leverage our state money and now into federal money. We've been able to win a regional prize from an outstanding foundation. We've gained credibility with donors who are investing here at SDSU and American Indian students. So I think once you kind of get the flywheel moving, the momentum will turn a relatively modest amount of that original $500,000 from the state annually into many, many millions of dollars.
Yeah. I know with the Wakini Initiative and your work with this federal provision as well, this has really set SDSU apart in both the state and the country, I'd say, with respect to improving recruitment and retention of Native American students in higher education. Can you talk a little bit about why this is such a passion for you?
Well, proud that my mother's family was from the Rosebud Reservation, and I lived there a lot as a child with my grandparents, and then my wife Jane and I ranched on the Rosebud for nearly 20 years. So we're well aware of the challenges, and my own family story is one where my mother long ago found her way to a land grant university, and it just changed the trajectory of her children's lives. Two of her brothers, sadly, took other paths and ended in kind of a stereotypic tragedy. So for me, it's very personal. I can't change all the, I can't fix all the problems, but I find myself very honored and humbled to be the president of a university where I can take that responsibility to make a little bit of difference in the world, and that's what I'm trying to do, really in honor of my mother. She was a wonderful person and very courageous and, you know, a person of color who in the 1920s and 30s, you know, made tough choices and just wonderful choices and, you know, very positive choices. And yeah, so it's I know the path forward. I know how to do it. And just very excited about passing that pathway on to others.
What do you anticipate coming next for the Wokini Initiative as it moves into the next few years?
I think the big thing for us is to, here on campus, that we need to adjust. We have a new American Indian Student Center we're building, but we also need to learn more as a campus community, learn more about the nine tribal nations of our state and their culture and their history and how wonderful these young people are that are coming to study with us. They have different challenges than some more traditional students, so we need to learn how to serve them better. And that's you know, that's a heavy load because we're all kind of, you know, we are who we are, and we're our backgrounds are our frame our behavior pretty strongly. And so as we educate the campus community about people from, you know, a very different way of life, really just down the road from us, but a very different way of life than some more traditional students, we have to find ways to serve them and be sensitive to their needs. And I look forward to that. It's going to be challenging, but we've had great reception on campus for the initiative, and it seems to have caught the attention and the excitement of a lot of people that this is kind of many of the associated problems with reservation life have festered in this state for decades and decades, and this is a positive step forward to changing the direction of a lot of people's lives. And so it's very exciting, I think.
Yeah, and In our last couple minutes, how closely have you been able to work with those different tribal communities in the state, both with regard to the Wokini Initiative and also this federal provision?
We work very hard building those relationships, and yet I know we need to do better. So we have our own challenges. Been on most of the reservations within the last couple years. We formed a president's advisory committee. That's an advisory committee to me. Mm-hmm. And we've invited the tribal chairman from each of the tribes and the presidents of the tribal colleges and universities in South Dakota to advise me about how to do the job better. So we've had several meetings. We'll have another meeting this spring. So, you know, I need to listen. I need to learn. And so it's all about relationships, and certainly we've got a long way to go to rebuild trust from, again, decades of kind of ignoring them. And so we've got some work to do, but we come at it with a good heart, and so far the reception's been generally positive. Certainly some gotten some very good advice about how to do things better, and we'll listen to that and learn from it, certainly do our very, very best to serve these individuals that come and the families and the communities and the tribes from which they come.
Great. President Dunn, I want to be respectful of your time. Is there anything else that I didn't touch on that you want to make sure you have a chance to talk about?
You know, Jackie, I think if I wish everyone could see and get to know these young people that we've attracted to campus from Crow Creek and Pine Ridge and Standing Rock and all nine reservations. They're just a joy, and they have all the hopes and dreams of every young person in South Dakota, and it's been very exciting to see them achieve some early results and fit in here on our campus, but also improve our campus with their presence. So it's a real joy. I wish I could share that with everybody, and I'm not sure how, but hopefully with pictures and stories we can in the future.